The Yiling Patriarch is Dead. Written and read by Sobiru. Fandom, Mo Dao Zishi. Relationship, Lan Chen, Lan Wanji, Wing, Wei Wuxian. Rating, Mature. Summary. Recovering from his wounds, Lan Wanji learns about Wei Wuxian's death and goes to burial mounds in denial. Wei Wuxian finds Lan Wangji looking for him, but is unable to communicate with him. The physical pain is still bearable to Lan Wangji, even if his wounds make it impossible for him to leave the bed. A few days have already gone by, and the pain won't cease. Yet trusting that it is a simple price to pay for Wei Wuxian's safety is enough for Lan Wangji to endure the consequences. Some time without walking is more than enough in exchange. Lan Xichen knocks softly on the door of the Jingshi. Lan Wangji tells him weakly to enter, and in the next moment, his brother is approaching the bed. Lan Wangji can't really see his brother as he is lying on his abdomen, but he knows he is carrying food by the soft, warm scent that is now close. Wangji, Lan Xichen speaks, putting the tray on a table nearby.
How are you feeling? Fine,
Lan Wangji answers, not letting an ounce of pain be perceptible in his voice. Lan Xichen still gives him a sympathetic look.
Right.
Lan Xichen sighs.
I brought you today's breakfast, so I'll start giving it to you. I can do it.
Lan Wangji protests, trying to stand with trembling arms. Lan Xichen touches his brother's head softly.
Let me feed you,
Lan Xichen says in a firm but gentle voice. Lan Wangji knows further protests are futile when facing Lan Xichen, so he sighs and relaxes on the bed. He turns to face his brother and lets him take care of his temporarily wounded self. They spend breakfast in silence, one that should be comfortable but feels unusually tense. When all the food is gone, Lan Xichen proceeds to apply medicine to Lan Wangji's wounds, like he has been doing since the punishment. Without having to look at his brother, Lan Wangji is sure that Lan Xichen's eyes are full of pain and sadness whenever he has to look at the whip marks. No comment is ever made, for there is no need for any to know what they both think about these wounds. Having finished treating Lan Wangji, Lan Xichen takes everything he had brought with him and quietly walks to the door. He hesitates before opening the door, making the atmosphere more tense with his doubt.
Brother,
Lan Wangji says, sensing his brother is hiding something.
Tell me what is bothering you.
Lan Xichen closes his eyes and sighs.
Nothing can escape you, Wangji,
Lan Xichen answers.
I meant to tell you when you would feel well. I am well,
Lan Wangji says. Lan Xichen turns slowly, his smile tense. He puts everything he carries on a table before going back to his brother's side. He takes a seat and inhales deeply.
I suppose you would rather know from me first instead of finding out much later.
Lan Xichen says in a very serious tone.
What?
Lan Wangji asks. Lan Xichen takes a deep breath again and looks directly into Lan Wangji's eyes.
Wei Wuxian has passed away,
Lan Xichen tells his brother. For a moment, Lan Wangji thinks he misheard what his brother just uttered, but sees how his brother's eyes are sincere and concerned.
No,
Lan Wangji breathes.
Must be hiding.
Wangji, please listen, Lan Xichen pleads. There was a siege. Everything in burial mounds was destroyed. Nothing remains.
Hiding,
Lan Wangji insists. Lan Xichen sighs.
He was cornered. He couldn't escape.
Lan Xichen continues explaining.
Did they find him?
Lan Wangji asks quickly.
There were no rest of him left. His body was destroyed.
No, Lawenji says firmly. He is alive.
Lan Shiqin stops discussing and stands up.
You need time to process it.
Lan Shiqin says as he makes his way to the door, picking the plates up again.
I'll give you time to do so and to rest.
Lan Shiqin gently closes the door, leaving Lan Wenji lying on his bed and looking into a point far away. Lan Wenji is absolutely certain that the information his brother had received must be mistaken. He is sure that Wei Wuxian is only hiding in a nearby location, wounded, maybe, but alive. Lan Wenji only has to find him. He ignores the excruciating pain from his back, incorporating himself with trembling but determined arms. He gets up and gets properly dressed, taking Bi Chen with him before stepping out of the Jingxi. Only with this procedure, he's already sweating heavily, his body about to collapse with every step. But Lan Wenji's determination is far stronger than anything, so he forces himself to stand on his sword and fly towards Yiling. Wei Wuxian looks around in confusion. He knows he is at burial mounds, but can't recognize the deserted landscape and the flaming houses he sees. He is so close to the flames, but doesn't feel the heat from them, which must mean that he is dreaming, maybe even hallucinating. He gets closer to a still-burning house, reaching his hand to it. By doing so, he slowly realizes that the fire is very real. But the heat won't reach him because he is incapable of feeling it. Flashes of fighting, shouts, and anger come to his mind. There was a siege, and he perished. He nods in understanding now. He knows his body must have completely disappeared since he can't feel any connection to it anymore. So long for coming back as a walking corpse. It's better this way, he thinks. And if he is a wandering soul now, he should at least see what remains of burial mounds. Perhaps someone is still alive. He walks around, looking everywhere he can, but sees that there is no one left. The ashes from what once was a peaceful community are all that remains. Ashes that will be carried by the wind, and won't even stay behind afterward. Not a single body is visible. After walking around for some time, he decides to go to the demon slaughtering cave next. As he approaches, he hears faint steps inside. Someone is there. He quickly enters and sees a tall figure in white clothes walking around.
Lantern!
Wei Wuxian tries to catch his attention, realizing that his voice seems too distant even to him. He wants to ask him what he is doing here, wants to simply talk to him, but he can't. He remembers that Lan Wenji should be able to communicate with him through his guqin if he plays inquiry. Unfortunately, the clear absence of the instrument on his back, or a Tian Kun pouch on him, makes Wei Wuxian lose hope of attempting to talk to Lan Wenji. In his haste to get to burial mounds, Lan Wenji had forgotten to bring his guqin with him. But Wei Wuxian couldn't know that. Wei Wuxian resigns himself to simply observe Lan Wenji as he keeps rummaging around. Lan Wenji is as still-faced as ever, but his ragged breaths and sweat-soaked forehead ribbon betray his true condition. He looks like he had been running for too long, and his trembling hands make Wei Wuxian believe that Lan Wenji is on the brink of exhaustion and overworking himself. Lan Wenji looks frantically around him, going from side to side, his pristine white robe swiping the ashes and dust on the floor, blackening his boots and the edges of his robes. He keeps walking and searching on the same spots over and over, trying to find something,
anything. But all there is are dust, ashes, and blood splatters. Lan Wenji finally decides to step out of the cave, Wei Wuxian on his toes. Wei Wuxian wonders if what Lan Wenji is looking for is this Tijian tiger seal, to take it and destroy it like the whole cultivation world wanted when Wei Wuxian was still alive.
Wei Ying!
Lan Wenji calls, making Wei Wuxian look at him curiously.
Where are you?
Lan Wenji looks at the landscape before him and starts running, stumbling from time to time. Wei Wuxian stays by his side and follows along. They go through the remains of burial mounds, to every corner, every burnt-down house, every tree, everywhere atop the mountain. They go down the mountain, Lan Wenji's robes already covered in heavy sweat, ashes, and dirt, his forehead ribbon slightly askew. Wei Wuxian tries and tries to tell him that he is right beside him, that it's futile to keep searching for him when he is right there. They go to the surroundings of the mountain, Lan Wenji walking at a fast pace, stumbling more and more, falling on his knees every few steps. Wei Wuxian notices a trembling has invaded all of Lan Wenji's body, making his feet barely strong enough to hold him up. Wei Wuxian can feel his heartache, even if he doesn't have a beating heart anymore. Lan Wenji persists through the heavy trembling, standing up and continuing to follow the path he chose to explore. He gets to the woods, his pace having slowed down, every step being more and more difficult now. He blinks with difficulty, his sweat getting into his eyes and clouding his vision. He doesn't see a root on his way, making him trip and fall heavily on the ground. Wei Wuxian instantly kneels beside him, trying to see if Lan Wenji is all right. Lan Wenji is trembling, Wei Wuxian supposes from exertion, but he hears a quick intake of breath and freezes. Lan Wenji raises his head, his eyes wandering from side to side, but unable to see clearly between the heavy tears that pour uncontrollably. Wei Wuxian has seen Lan Wenji cry before, once, but this is completely different. Lan Wenji, who is usually so composed and difficult to decipher, is crying honestly and freely now, his beautiful golden eyes reddened and swollen, his face contorting in a pained expression that Wei Wuxian knows Lan Wenji would be unable to show at all if it weren't because he is completely alone and terribly exhausted right now. Only Wei Wuxian is here to witness this explosive display of emotion. But Lan Wenji is sadly unaware of that.
Wei Ying,
Lan Wenji whispers between sobs.
Wei Ying,
I'm here. I'm right here.
Wei Wuxian desperately wants to scream, wants to touch, wants to manifest in any way, just so Lan Wenji wouldn't look so lost. He raises his hands to try and cup Lan Wenji's face between them, but they don't reach him. They don't get to wipe those tears. Wei Wuxian can only watch Lan Wenji lower his head, crying and calling his name ceaselessly without being able to do anything about it. He can only feel Lan Wenji's true emotions reach him, can only realize the emotions he himself reciprocates, despite having been completely unaware of any of them when he was alive. It seems punishment enough to see Lan Wenji suffering like this, but the feelings hit him harder than any fist or blade ever did, making the lack of a physical body or any means of communication all the more obvious and unbearable. Wei Wuxian can't stand feeling so helpless anymore. He decides to make a promise. A promise of coming back, of making sure they both find each other again and never leave each other's side. He thinks that if they couldn't have this life for themselves, they will have the next, and the following, and every single one that comes after. He focuses all his will into those thoughts, those feelings, and intentions. The energy he focuses on them is so overwhelming that he produces a gush of wind in the physical world, one that makes Lawanji raise his hand again and gasp. Wei Wuxian thinks then that Lawanji is able to catch a glimpse of him, to feel him there, but before he can react, he disappears. The energy he exerted was too powerful, and his soul would be now unable to contact the world through any usual cultivation techniques. He cannot be summoned through inquiry anymore. He can only wait for his reincarnation now, should it ever happen. Luanji looks toward the direction the gush of wind suddenly materialized, stunned silent for a moment. He recomposes himself as best as he can, breathing deeply and determined. He forces himself to stand up again, and his ears catch the sound of rustling. He quickly makes his way towards it and finds a tree trunk. Inside, there is a child who Luanji recognizes immediately. Ayuan is unconscious, breathing heavily and sweating. Luanji reaches out for him and discovers he has a high fever. Pulling Ayuan out of the trunk, Luanji thinks back to the time he got to spend with both the boy and Wei Wuxian with a heavy heart. Luanji cradles Ayuan on his trembling arms, relieved to see that at least this innocent child was able to escape the same fate of the Wens. They both suffered great losses today, and Luanji decides it is now his responsibility to take over the last Wen clan and Wei Wuxian in taking care of this child. Ayuan is now the most important reminder of Wei Wuxian's kindness Luanji can hold on to. Luanji is determined to give Ayuan the proper care and education in order to honor his beloved's memory. He won't let anyone take this child away from him. Ayuan will grow to become strong and talented. Luanji will personally make sure of that. Luanji climbs on Bichun and heads back to the cloud recesses, carrying Ayuan in his arms, determined to tend to his feverish condition as soon as possible. They leave Yiling behind as the last rays of sun paint the red sky. Both Luanji's and Wei Wuxian's promises will be fulfilled. Nevertheless, when the moment will come for Mu Xuanyu to offer his body to the Yiling Patriarch, Wei Wuxian will be unable to remember his moments as a ghost in the physical world. Promise and Luanji's desperate tears forgotten. But fate will make sure to remember those for him instead. The end. Thank you.